hold the line for the conference host to join the conference, or a customer services representative.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Oando PLC conference call. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. Should you require assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to your host, Group Chief Executive of Oando PLC, Wale Tinubu, to begin. Thank you.
Good afternoon and thank you for joining us for this brief conference call to provide the market with an update on significant developments in the evolution of Oando PLC. In recent years, Oando has articulated a strategy that emphasized growth in the highly profitable upstream E&P sector and fairly stable midstream business while adopting a more moderated and capital-light approach to investments in the downstream. Oando is proud of its midstream portfolio of domestic gas and power infrastructure, as well as its pipe and energy infrastructure projects led by our experienced private sector energy infrastructure development team in Nigeria today. We currently boast a pipeline network spanning 230 kilometers and an independent power plant capacity of 22 megawatts, with several plants in development. In the exploration and production space, Oando had to be opportunistic as it sought to acquire the right portfolio of assets with substantial production and a large 2P reserve base, with the opportunity for production ramp up from its near-term developed assets that could propel the company into the top tier of regional oil and gas producers. Such opportunity came about in the fourth quarter of 2012 when Oando successfully bid ConocoPhillips' Nigerian business. When finalized, the acquisition positions Oando Energy Resources as the preeminent indigenous regional player in oil and gas with approximately 50,000 barrels of oil per day and 237 million barrels of oil equivalent of 2P reserves and in excess of 500 million barrels of oil equivalent of contingent reserves. In January 31st, 2014, Oando Energy Resources announced that it has successfully secured full funding to meet the financial close of the acquisition subject to the Toronto Stock Exchange approvals and the consent for closure of the transaction according with extended February 20th, 2014 to enable the regulatory process to take a course. Due to Oando Energy Resources listing of the TSX, it is expected that OER's future growth aspirations can be funded by equity offerings therefrom. To this end, OER intends to conduct follow-on equity offerings within the next few months post-closing to shore up its capital base and provide additional flows on the Toronto Stock Exchange subject to capital market conditions. The financial structure in terms of the acquisition was a 50-50 debt-to-equity ratio with total debt secured of $800 million consisting of a $450 million RBL facility and a $350 million OER corporate loan facility, and total equity of approximately $800 million raised via Oando PLC, consisting of $245 million early on in the year and $200 million of special placing in November of last year, asset disposals of $250 million and a $50 million OER private placement, which is currently awaiting TSX approval. With the completion of this transaction, OER will emerge a top player in the E&P global market and be undoubtedly the number one indigenous independent oil and gas company in Nigeria. On January 20, 2014, Oando PLC issued a notice requested for an extraordinary general meeting to be held on February 18, 2014 to approve, amongst other things, the following resolutions. One, that on the recommendation of the directors and in accordance with Article 46 of the Articles of Association of the company, the authorized share capital of the company be increased to 5 billion naira, sorry, be increased from 5 billion naira to 7 billion 500 million naira. Two, the amendment of clause 6 of the Memorandum of Association and Article 3 of the Articles of Association, respectively, to reflect the new authorized share capital of 7 $1.5 billion shares divided into 15 billion ordinary shares of 50 kobo each. 3, the authorization to raise further capital of up to 50 billion through an offer by way of rights issue in the year 2014. And 4, the authorization to raise additional capital of up to 200 billion naira, whether by way of public offering, private or special placement, rights issues, convertibles, or any other methods. The rationale behind the resolution is following. Firstly, companies request an increase in share capital by 5 billion ordinary shares to 15 billion ordinary shares to ensure the company has authorized share capital necessary for potential equity raises that are anticipated over the next 5 years. Secondly, we have proposed a 50 billion rights issue to raise capital to meet our immediate requirements in our balance sheet optimization process, reducing our net interest expense while supporting midterm dividends and operational flexibility. This process will commence following the EGM and conclude in the second quarter of 2014. Proceeds will be primarily used to deliver the group's balance sheet, the long-term goal of management to reduce exposure to the creeping increase in interest rates and other funding costs, as well as other costs we have seen in the financial and operational environment we create value in, and to replenish the group's working capital post the acquisition of ConocoPhillips. The 200 million resolution replaces the standing approval the company had in place from 2009, which approved a total raise of 200 billion, which has been the basis by which Oando was able to raise capital in recent years, with particular reference to the 21 billion rights issue in 2009 at the height of the financial market downturn, and the 54 billion rights issue in 2013 utilized primarily towards the ConocoPhillips acquisition and capital refinancing. Having just about exhausted this existing threshold, the company seeks a fresh capital raising limit that will provide flexibility to aid growth plans in the medium to long term, and we state that we have no plans to raise any equity in 2014 for under PLC beyond the 50 billion recently announced. Historically, the company has raised a total of 121 billion in equity, which was in 2004 16 billion via an offer for subscription and rights issue, in 2010 a 21 billion rights issue, in 2013 a 54 billion rights issue earlier mentioned, and the recently concluded 30 billion special placement. The company today has shareholder funds of 151 billion, which has grown through the years through our capital raises and retained earnings. The company has experienced exponential growth in its assets since 2003, from 36 billion to 506 billion in 2013, due to the diversification effort from the maiden downstream business that was acquired in the early 2000s to the fully integrated platform with assets across midstream and the upstream. This growth has been attributed mainly to debt financing from banks and other international institutions, as well as the company's retained earnings. Now the company is approaching maturity. Management and the board recommend the optimization of the balance sheet with the view of releasing additional value to shareholders through debt refinancing, asset sales, and equity raises where the dilutive impact is less or equal to the savings of the net interest payout. A maximum 50-50 net debt to equity ratio shall be targeted at all times. The company has paid a total of 39 billion in net interest expense to banks over the last 3 years, and deems it important to reduce the outflow of cash, swapping the debt to equity, and increasing our overall bottom line value and earnings per share to our shareholders. We are focusing our energies towards the delivery of our strategic plan and are extremely excited about this new chapter in the company's development, ending the significant changes post the completion of the COP acquisition. I will now open the call to questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, can you please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now? Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star 1. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, last call for questions, please. Press star 1 if you wish to contribute to the call. Okay, and we have one question on the line. From the line of Ndebusi Abiki from Stanbic. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation. I also have one question. My question has to do with the divestment plans for the downstream assets and also the in the energy business. Perhaps you could give more clarity on the modalities and, of course, and also link it to the current plant rights issue, because in my mind I'm thinking when... if we participate in this right, we'll be buying the whole business. So if later there's a separate offer for a subunit of this business, which is the downstream business, I don't think it will pop out if we are told to buy that, pay for it again, since we have already bought it through via this right. I don't know. Why don't you just give me your view on that?
Thank you for your question. First of all, you already own the company, so you won't be purchasing the company via the rights. The logic is, as we invest as a company, we should also consider divestment, where the returns of the businesses we expand exceed the returns of the existing businesses or sub-businesses we run. So I think it's always been clear that we have considered a partial divestment of our downstream business via a local listing on the local exchange here. It's something which we had already gotten shareholder approval for as far back as 3 years ago, which we've considered, but they have never found the right market conditions to be able to actualize this. Similarly, our expansion plans on the upstream had not been concretized, and there was also the dilemma of divesting before we concluded our investment plan. And I think what we are trying to achieve is a balance between increasing the capital base of the company and also considering what we can, where we can create value via divestment. In the energy business, that will also be a consideration. The recent divestment of one of our pipelines at an excellent price, an example of our capacity to build value by creating assets, and also be decisive when we are faced with opportunities that create shareholder value. We also will consider looking at our portfolio, and there will be potential divestments as well to around the businesses where we see value opportunities in the near future.
Okay, I hope you don't mind if I ask, make one more comment. It's kind of, given that you came to the market last year to raise funds, where, right, and this year again, we're having this write-off issue, and given that you plan to raise another $200 billion, it's not impossible that next year there will be underwrite or under form of equity raising exercise. Perhaps if you could give us an overview of your next, how you see yourself participating in the capital market in the next 5 years, so that it will not be a case of any capital raising exercise blindsiding the shareholders, so that the concerns about equity dilution will not come up. At least we'll be aware, it will not come to us as a surprise. Because I'm thinking about the fact that Conoco will still come upstream, and there might be working capital needs for Conoco, so there might be need to raise capital again. So if we had an idea, a timetable, or something of an overview, we'll have it in mind before it comes, so it's not, at least takes away that surprise element.
Thank you for the question. First of all, I mean, the company historically has not been to the capital markets often. I did mention that 2004, when 16 billion naira was raised after the acquisition of Agis downstream interest in Nigeria, the next time the company went to market was 6 years later in 2010, and there was a rights issue at the height of the global financial crisis to shore up its balance sheet, considering the fact that interest rates had skyrocketed and there was a tightness in the local money market. Thereafter, the only time we went to market was in 2013, and that was to do with a significant acquisition of the Konakopolis business. So I think it is clear that there has been entirely a dependence more on debt for the growth of the business historically. Second point to note is that this is the only capital increase envisaged, and it should not be confused with the requirement to increase the capital base to create additional shares. The company has historically always had a healthy authorized share capital approved because from time to time it would go into transactions which are to provide short-term liquidity for it. For example, convertible loans which it had done in the past which were not converted into equity by that process. Occasionally, we do have opportunities where we get long-term, short-term funding from international institutions, and in doing those, we are requested to provide security in form of a commitment to issue shares to them should we be unable to pay back those loans. But those things are clearly just secondary or tertiary security structures to provide comfort to international lenders. I mean, there's never been such a case in the history of the company. So it's not that the company is setting out to do a 200 billion capital raising. On the contrary, the company just requires the flexibility which it's always had to be able to plan its path forward. And each time there have been significant increases in the capital, for example, during the special placement, the company has come back to the to the extraordinary general meeting for specific approvals for such raises. It's also important to state that Oando PLC will not be financing the working capital requirements of Oando Energy Resources, its TSX listed subsidiary. The primary reason for listing on the TSX main board was to provide a platform to access global equity capital for its own development of its upstream aspirations, because it's just like you said, there will be a short-term dilutive effect by going to the local capital markets or under PLC to raise equity for the longer-term development of the upstream operation, and that is the reason why the OER was listed on the TSX. Future capital raises for the upstream will take place primarily on the Toronto Stock Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to contribute a question, can you please press star 1 now? Okay, our next question comes from the line of Philip Connie from Boston. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the call. I have just one question. Does OER plan to raise any money for this year from the TSX platform? Thank you.
Yes, OER had filed a shelf prospectus late last year, embracing an intention to raise capital on the TSX platform. The company is currently owned 99.9% at full dilution by Oando PLC, and the company is required to create a float for third-party ownership of the company within the shortest time frame. It's envisaged that capital raising will occur immediately after the minister's consent for the acquisition is given. and all other regulatory approval sought and obtained.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one. We have one question from the line of Stephen Mabono from Echo Bank. Please go ahead. Sir, your line is open.
Thank you very much for your comments and presentation so far. Thank you, sir. I'd just like to make one, or ask just one question. Is it possible at this time to give us some idea, maybe in terms of numbers, what sort of impact the Conoco acquisition would have on your book? Some sort of idea, maybe a bit there or something. Thank you very much.
I think that we are able to at least shed some guidance based on the basic historical projections of the company. And we expect our EBITDA to be in excess of 100 billion post completion of the acquisition of the company. There will also be a revenue increase of about $1.5 billion on the revenue line.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just pausing for any further questions. Okay, we have one question from line of Femi from Monicamp. Please go ahead. Femi, your line is open.
Hello, good afternoon. I have two questions, basically. The first one, the investor to the OER special placement, has it been identified? Here, the CEO say the capital raising will be done immediately after the material content has been sought. Secondly, what are the risks of getting the material content to this transaction, at least the Conoco to this transaction? Those are my two questions. Thank you.
Firstly, the company is pretty confident and of the fact that it will be able to secure support for the right issue. So that's something we as management and the board is satisfied and comfortable about. The second point regarding the content, I mean, the content is a normal administrative process, which is guided by the Petroleum Act, and which is effectively a process which is in which the government ensures that the party acquiring is a corporate citizen of satisfactory technical and commercial expertise to be able to manage an asset of that nature. Please bear in mind that the Rwanda PLC has been involved in the EMP division and has secured consent in the past, as far back as 5 years ago, for acquisitions in the upstream space in Nigeria, and currently operates several fields and is also a non-operated investor in several oil fields. So it's not a new thing for the company.
Okay, sorry, I didn't get your response to the first question well. I asked if the investor to the special placement has been identified.
The rights issue is an offer to existing shareholders.
No, not the rights issue, the special placement of OER, the $50 million.
Yeah, I mean, the private placement is over. There was two investments of $25 million. It's an ongoing process in OER, but the first commitments that have been recently secured were two $25 million investments, one by a Middle Eastern energy company, another by a U.S.-based family fund.
Okay.
And it's going to be an ongoing process in which we are expected to create a 25% float in the company. So in reality, the company will be seeking to raise a minimum of $250 million to satisfy that requirement at first instance, assuming it was issuing its shares at par. If it was issuing its shares at a premium, then the amount that will be received will be less, which is the expectation of the company over time, that it will issue the shares at a premium.
Okay then, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just pausing for further questions, if any. Okay, speakers, we have no further questions currently on the line, so I'll hand back over to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for dialing into our call. We look forward to your continual support as the company transits into a major upstream entity. We will certainly organize a call as soon as completion is done, and at that point in time, we would not have the restrictions of confidentiality, and we'll be able to give appropriate details of the future financial forecast that is expected as a result of the acquisition. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining. You may now replace your handsets.